and welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you from the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is radio host, author, and the president of Fire School of Ministry, Dr. Michael Brown. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from their home in the Ozarks, here's your hosts, Pastor Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker, and welcome everyone to our show today.
Hi there.
We have Dr. Michael Brown on this program, founder, president of...
That's Dr. Brown Ministries.
Yeah, and president of Fire School of Ministry.
That's right.
He has authored more than 40 books, including his latest, that is a subject I hate.
You do. You've been, even before the broadcast, you're just...
By this subject. I'm very upset by the Holocaust upset me. I learned of the Holocaust when I was a little boy.
Right, you sure did.
And I had, I remember seeing pictures from a pastor who had gone and he literally was one of the, he was the photographer that went in with the army. He was part of the army and took the pictures of the dead bodies by the millions, by the thousands of dead bodies, just the more horror things. Yeah. And I remember that as a little boy, I remember seeing those things and hearing about them. And I had Jewish friends at that point in the neighborhood, because we lived in a neighborhood with several Jewish families, and they were my best friends, the kids of the family. And I remember the Jewish mama asking me, she says, "Why do you Christians hate us?" And I says, "We don't hate you."
That's right.
But this is such an unbelievable situation that we would have a book called Christian
Anti-Semitism,
Confronting the Lies in Today's Church.
Yes.
Dr. Brown, and what prompted you to write a book on contemporary Christian anti-Semitism?
It's a book I wish I didn't have to write. When I came to faith in 1971 as a heavy drug-using Jewish teenager playing drums in a rock band, the local rabbi gave me a book about anti-Semitism in church history, and it was horrible to read. It was shocking to read. Some famous church leaders of the past with Jew hatred, persecution of the Jews. But to me, it was all in the past, because the church where I came to faith, they loved Israel. They loved the Jewish people. And as I traveled around the world and preached, I ran into great love for the Jewish people. Just like you said, your Jewish friends, we don't hate the Jews, we love the Jews. I ran into that around the world, and the amount of people that I met that you could call Christian anti-Semites, in other words, people professing Christian faith, but who were real Jew haters, who demonized the Jews, who believed the worst lies about the Jews, the amount of Christian anti-Semites I met over the decades, you could literally count them on one hand. But in the last few years, there has been a terrible resurgence of this. The internet has helped blast it out. Some people from the evangelical side, from the Catholic side, they became very popular on TV networks, on internet networks. Their material started to circulate. And literally, in the last 2 years, I've confronted anti-Semitism in the church, Jew hatred, demonizing of the Jewish people in Israel on the lips of Christians. I've encountered more of that in the last 2 years than in the previous 47 years combined. And that's why I wrote Christian Anti-Semitism. The church must be aware, and true Christians must push back against this ugly lie in the name of Jesus and with the truth.
Wow, amen.
For those in our audience who may not understand what anti-Semitism is, can you explain it to them?
Yes, anti-Semitism is hatred of the Jewish people as people, demonizing of the Jewish people as people. In other words, if you say, "Boy, that Jewish businessman I worked with seemed really greedy," that's not anti-Semitic. To say all Jews are greedy is anti-Semitic. To say, you know, "I don't agree with every policy that Israel has towards the Palestinians, I think some things are oppressive," that's not anti-Semitic. To say that Israel does not have a right to exist or that Israel is practicing genocide, that is anti-Semitic. So it's when you believe lies about the Jewish people as a people And when you caricature them that all Jews are this or this, something negative, when you scapegoat the Jewish people for problems happening in society, and when the church calls Jews Christ killers, as if every Jew who lived through history is a Christ killer, or calls them guilty of deicide, killing God because they killed Jesus, that is anti-Semitism, and that is anti-Semitism in its Christian form.
Yeah.
We have a role in Netanyahu calling the International Criminal Court investigation undiluted anti-Semitism. I want to roll this and have you talk about it.
The decision of the International Court to open an investigation against Israel today for war crimes is absurd. It's undiluted anti-Semitism in the height of hypocrisy. Without any jurisdiction, it decided that our brave soldiers, who take every precaution to avoid civilian casualties against the worst terrorists in the world who deliberately target civilians, it's our soldiers who are war criminals. We will never stop fighting this injustice. We will speak the truth in every forum, in every country, on every stage, until this outrageous decision is reversed and becomes null and void.
Dr. Brown, can you please comment on that, Roland?
That's a perfect example of contemporary anti-Semitism, where the standards are completely turned upside down. So the Israeli military, the IDF, goes through more extensive training and makes every effort to make sure that they avoid civilian casualties. If they know that there's a terrorist, someone just snuck into Israel, killed a pregnant wife and her three kids, murdered them in cold blood, and snuck out, and they know where he is, and he's hiding in a house, they will announce in advance, before they bomb that house or attack, there's a terrorist there. They want to do everything they can to preserve civilian life, whereas the terrorists rejoice when they take the lives of Israeli civilians. And the world court wants to take Israel to court for crimes against humanity rather than punishing the terrorists. I mean, just think of this. People break into your house. They try to kill you. And in self-defense, you're able to wound one before they take off. And they arrest you for hurting a nice criminal. That's what happens. The world turned things upside down. We've seen it through history, and it remains today. And the fact that it's so pervasive, the fact that you have it all around the world, the fact you have it in Islam and in Christianity, the fact you have it under atheism, the fact you have it under Nazi, you have it worldwide, it indicates to me that something demonic is going on, and that behind this all is a satanic attempt to wipe out the Jewish people.
Yeah, wow.
They're releasing criminals now and bringing them into our country even that are known criminals.
Yes, that's right.
And putting good people, putting Christians in prison.
Yeah, it's true.
Persecuting Christians. Mm-hmm. The Holocaust is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, injustice of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Holocaust, I don't know if you could just talk about it for 1 minute, Dr. Brown, but the Holocaust killed innocent people.
Yes.
The Holocaust took and just rounded up people and put them in train cars and took them to camps to be gassed, to be put in ovens, to be destroyed. And look at the bodies in this picture you just saw on the screen, that one you just saw. Mm-hmm. Look at that. That is just thousands and thousands of bodies, and they murdered the Jewish children.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm.
This is not a fight against a war.
Yeah. That's precious.
These children went to these camps and were killed and burnt alive.
Right.
It's horrible.
It is.
This is the most evil man I think can ever do, is to kill, take people from their beds.
That's right.
Take people from their homes. And can I just ask you one question? Why is this topic so close to your heart?
Yeah, I did not personally lose family members in the Holocaust. But as a Jew, you look through history and you see it through different eyes. You know, we learn in America in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. If you grow up in a Jewish home, you learn in 1492, all non-baptized Jews were expelled from Spain. And that's one of many countries Jews have been expelled from. Why? Because they refused to be baptized, even when given the choice of baptism or death. Some were killed, others were expelled. There is a history of anti-Semitism, especially in Europe, and that history paved the way for the Holocaust. Without that, even though the Nazis themselves were anti-Christian, without that history, there would not have been the cooperation of Europe against the Jews, because there was such hatred of the Jews. They were so demonized. They were parasites. They were dogs. They should be exterminated. I mean, think of this. Out of the 6 million that was slaughtered, 1.5 million were children or babies. In the country of Poland, where there were 3.3 million Jews, 3 million of them, 9 out of every 10 Polish Jews, nine-tenths of them were slaughtered. 3 million total. I mean, this is unspeakable, unimaginable. And then one of the methods of mass killing, the Nazis would have Jews dig a giant grave and then would shoot them. And then once the bodies were in the grave, they'd burn them. That was their way of disposal. But they realized with babies, they didn't need the bullet because the baby can't run. So they just throw the baby into the burning flames. I mean, this was done. And the hatred towards the Jewish people was the accumulation of centuries of lies about the Jewish people told by many church leaders. So here's the thing. It's unthinkable that these things happened in the past, but it's unthinkable that in America in 2019, there were two synagogue shootings, one by a white supremacist in Pittsburgh who marched into the building and said all Jews must die, and then one in Poway, California, a young man, 19 years old, he was also a white supremacist, but he was a professing Christian. And he said, because all Jews have shared in the crime of killing Christ, I've got to kill as many as I can and send them to hell. This happened on American soil. So we don't take Jew hatred for granted. And we recognize that if we don't stand, if we don't speak, if we don't do what's right, then Jews will get blamed for something. If there's an economic collapse, if something else goes wrong in America, then the Jews will be blamed. And in Christian anti-Semitism, I document these things. You know, for example, during the first impeachment hearings against President Trump, there was one evangelical newscaster. And on his TV network, he said, this is a Jew coup. And the Jews are trying to remove President Trump. First, he said they control President Trump. He said, now other Jews are trying to remove President Trump. And then he said this, remarkably enough, this is 2 years ago. He said, there could be a civil war coming by Christmas. And he said, you better be armed. You better have guns, because when Jews take over a country, they start killing people. You put this kind of fear in the hearts and minds of people, there's no telling what they may do. So that's why I wrote Christian Anti-Semitism, to look at the lessons of the past, but then to focus on today and say, folks, this is happening on our watch. This is happening in our day. Therefore, we must get educated and we must sound the alarm.
Yes.
Wow.
This is an alarm sounding book right here.
And this is something that goes way back with me.
Yes, yes.
You know, I'm an older man right now that I've lived a long time on earth and I've seen it.
Sure.
And the one thing that's probably stirred me as much as anything on earth is the Holocaust.
That's right.
And what happened. And it's developing again.
It's just shocking.
And there's a Jewish saying, Dr. Brown, that is never again. Isn't that the Jewish saying that meaning the Holocaust should never, ever be repeated? I know Christian ministers who are anti-Semitic, and it breaks my heart.
Yeah, that's, you know.
I don't think you can hate and be born again.
Amen. Right.
I don't think you're born again if you hate.
Right.
You know you pass from death into life because you love.
Amen.
The brethren, the other people, you love them all. And this is so important. I want you to get this book. Your kids need this book.
Yes.
I was just asking my daughter Marcella what she knew about anti-Semitism. And you've learned this because you live with Dad.
That's right, absolutely. And what we're realizing even right now is my generation, they're trying to erase the Holocaust. They're erasing our history, you know, and that's what to me is so shocking. And this book right here, you have to understand. The word says, take heed that you are not deceived, for many shall be deceived. But right now, this message is truly I mean, it goes so deep, Dad, because they're trying to erase this. They're trying to erase the Holocaust. They're trying to pretend like it never existed, never happened. And that's what these next generations are being raised in. So we must take a stand as believers for our Jewish brothers and sisters who have suffered. They have suffered tremendously.
Exactly. And that's why Jim just said he actually will be heartbroken if you don't.
Yes.
Read this book.
This is one book that I want you to have in your library. Right. I want you to have it for your grandchildren.
Exactly.
For your children.
Absolutely. Yes.
And this is deep within me. I believe this is in the heart of God.
It is.
And I'm glad that Dr. Michael Brown wrote this book.
That's right.
Guts to write it strength to write it.
I'll tell you, he said at the very beginning, Dr. Brown says at the very beginning of the book, this is a book I wish I did not have to write, a book I wish was not urgent and relevant, but it had to be written, and it certainly is urgent and relevant. Anti-Semitism is raising its ugly head again right within the church, including the evangelical church. That's just, it's hard to read that because it kind of saddens your heart, so I can only imagine, Dr. Brown, as you wrote this book, I mean, the probably the sadness that you felt, I feel like it's from the Lord, really, this that deep grieving sadness that this could be happening in the church. But something that I rarely encountered in almost 50 years, you said, of walking with the Lord as a Jewish believer in Jesus is becoming increasingly common. How can this be? Wow. Is the question you ask the reader, and then you go on. This is a very somber, serious subject, people.
You know, most families don't talk about this subject. I know Mila and Mateo, they've been learning about the Jewish history throughout my children, my twins, since they were little. They're 10 now, but, you know, ever since we went to Israel, we even dove in even deeper and really explain what the anti-Semitic movement is all about, understand why the Jews should be celebrated and really protected. But isn't it amazing that the woke culture right now, a movement that has infiltrated the church today, is being a part of this anti-Semitic movement that evangelical church is not dealing with? Dr. Brown really is being a person that is spearheading this talk. You have to talk about it first.
Right.
And I remember when we went to the museum in Israel, and you gave us a history, Dad, Yabashan, and you took us to where there's trees and how your family name was part of that history
of saving the Jews.
We become part of that legacy extended when you teach us and you pass it down to our generation. Now we can pass it down to the next generation. But it is important to understand history cannot repeat itself, but we have to start talking about it. Otherwise, it's being erased from our culture.
So I hope that the people can go to museums.
Yes.
I mean, that's just one thing. To see it with your own eyes, to see the photographs.
That's exactly
with your own eyes.
Yes.
And to see the museums, you know, the Holocaust, the Yavasham, there's many, many trees.
Yes.
For bakers.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
B-A-K-K.
We were there.
Yeah. And so I went to their information center. They were so kind to us. They were so kind to us. And when they found out that we had bakers that were in the what did they call it? The Garden of something. It's there where the trees are planted.
Remembrance,
you know, and all. And I found, I think her name was Anna Baker from Holland.
That's right.
And I went to see her. They gave me her address and everything. And so on my way back from Israel, I stopped in Holland. And I went to see her. And her and her family, then she took me out to their farm.
Right.
Because she was in a nurse, a really nice retirement home, a little cottage, you know, like.
Right.
But they took me to, she took me at this aged lady and showed me the underground bunkers where they hid Jews.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mrs. Baker.
That's right.
Wow.
It's all throughout. It's all throughout the Garden of Remembrance there, the Bakers.
But,
the AKK.
But she said her husband was killed on the final day of the Holocaust. They found them.
Right, yeah.
And they killed her husband.
Right.
But she lived to tell the story.
Yes, she
and she
did.
Said every year the Jewish relatives and family of those that she saved and he saved.
Yes.
They come together and honor her.
They remember.
They remember.
Don't forget. That's
they
right.
remember. And so
and
this means a lot to me. Please order this book.
Yes.
Would you do this if you're my friend? Please order this book today and read it. Please. Confronting the lies in today's church. This is what's making me upset. I'm going to talk loud. But I'm upset because the church is being infiltrated with lies. And even preachers are preaching lies because they're deceived. There's a deception, which the Bible warns about. So they can get a book for $25, which supports this ministry.
Yes.
But this book, more important than even supporting the ministry, and we have to fight to stay alive every single day. And we believe God. When we go to the mailbox, we're going to hear from you, or we look at what came in for the day, that there's going to be enough to pay the bills that day.
Amen.
But this book is so important. Why don't you give this to your grandchildren? I want every one of my grandchildren
Absolutely.
To have this, Lori.
I do, too. Oh, I do. We're going to get it for them.
How can we do it?
We're going to order it.
Give it to them as a Christmas present.
We're going to order
it. No, I want it in their libraries, their little libraries.
Mm-hmm.
We have one for a donation of $25, and that includes the shipping and handling. Or we have three of the books for a donation of $55 to the ministry. Or better yet.
That's the friends and family.
That's the friends and family. But better yet, it's the Baker's Dozen. This is 13 of the Christian anti-Semitism confronting the lie in today's church.
Mm-hmm.
That's for a donation of $200, where you will receive 13 books for a donation of $200, and that includes the shipping and handling.
It is a wake-up call. Yeah. This book is a
wake-up
call.
But it's in detail, Lori.
In massive detail. It really
is. Dr. Brown has done a marvelous job writing this book. And
Dr.
you're going to love it.
You know who endorses this book? One of our dear friends, David Horowitz. Michael Brown has written an important and courageous book on a scourge that would have ended with the Nazi Holocaust. And he goes on to talk about it. Here's what he says. He said, it has returned, talking about anti-Semitism, is returned and found a home in the political left and the Christian church. Mm-hmm. Michael Brown's book is a welcome rebuke to those Christians who have abandoned their faith to further this hateful cause. Mm-hmm. David Horowitz. Yes. And here's David Horowitz, who stands up for Christianity.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, as a Jew. And it's pretty awesome.
He's an outspoken Christian.
He's just with us, you know.
Christian advocate.
Yeah.
Wow. You've got to get the book. Please, please. My God, don't ever say you won't do something, because several years ago I said I'm going to stop selling books. But it's so important that instead of saying I'm not going to sell books anymore, I've increased, and I'm now the number one. They tell me, and I don't know if this is true, Nana. You hear it, right?
Yes.
Have you heard that from publishers?
Absolutely.
They say I'm the number one seller of Christian books in America today.
Yes. That's because it's part of equipping the saints,
that's
equipping
right.
you. And that's, you know, the word says that we're to equip the saints with information, and information.
And I have viewers that are doing just what I said, and they've actually bought an extra little
bookcase.
Yes.
And
they're having, do you have a bookcase in your house?
I have two. You made me buy two. Not you. First, but hearing you, we have to practice what we preach. But listen, I really believe you're so passionate. I've never seen you this passionate about a book before or a subject. But when we went to Israel, everything stopped to focus on this subject.
That's right.
And I want to tell you something. If there's something that Dad is passionate about, is this right here.
I would almost say that I would give up my life for this book.
I believe it.
I saw the pictures when they were fresh when I was a little boy. I saw them of little children being put in the camps. Mm-hmm. I saw the people mass graves. But when you got to remember, here I was a little boy, and my best friend was Sonny Singer. I don't know where Sonny is, but look at these. These are Jews. Who were mamas and papas and daddies and grandchildren and families. Yeah. They were taken from their homes and slaughtered by the millions. I am so passionate about it that it's deep in me as from a little boy.
Yeah.
And this is so near the heart of God.
Exactly.
Why did they try to kill the Jews? Because the devil knows that the Jews are God's chosen people, and Jesus is returning to Jerusalem.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes. Amen.
Doctor, forgive me for taking over here for a minute, but I just want everybody to order the books now. Get the Baker's Dozen if you have enough money to do that with a $200 gift, and help us to stay on the air. But I want you to get the books, and I want you to pass them out.
Yes. Yeah.
So help me God. Lori, if you don't do anything else.
Yes, I'm doing it. Yes. And I'm getting them for our kids. And I want
every one of my grandchildren to have this book.
And I want, yes, we want our grandchildren.
They may not understand it right now, but put it in their little libraries, put it on the shelf. And just someday they're going to take it out and they'll remember. So, and put our names in it from grandma and grandpa so they understand.
Okay.
But I want everyone to read the book.
Yes.
I want them to understand. We can't repeat.
No.
And I want to tell you what's happening, people. What's happened to the Jew is now happening to the Christian.
That's right.
You wrote in your book, Dr. Brown, that in 2019, it was as if an ancient plague had been revived, spreading from person to person until millions are affected. Can you tell us what you meant by that?
Yeah, it's as if this ancient plague of Jew hatred, and specifically Jew hatred in the church, Christian anti-Semitism, was alive and well again. Oh, there had been trickles of it. It had never left the church. But especially in circles of people who really love Jesus and really love the Word of God, there was such a different testimony. You know, looking at this as a Jewish person who believes in Jesus, I watched through my life in the Lord. I watched over the decades as the Jewish community became more trusting of the Christian community, as the Jewish community saw genuine Christian love for Israel. As the Jewish community recognizes, hey, you want us to believe in Jesus, but whether we do or not, you are friends, you're our allies, you're standing with us. And I thought, thank God, that this memory of Jew hatred, this memory of Christian anti-Semitism is being erased, and a better testimony, a real testimony of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. People are seeing it now. My Jewish people are experiencing it. And Israel knows the best friends it has in the world are true followers of Jesus. And then to see the rise of these viral internet videos and these interviews just taking off, and these new networks and shows and writings that are just smashing the Jewish people and blaming the Jewish people for everything and saying there's going to be these new Jews are going to take over. They're going to bring in guillotines. They're going to start beheading Christians around the world. I mean, as Christians are being beheaded by radical Muslims and others, we're being told, no, it's the Jews that are going to start beheading the Christians, and beware of the evil Jews. I'm thinking, I cannot believe this is rising again. And then with it, the resurgence of what we call replacement theology or supersessionism, the idea that the church has superseded Israel, that the church has replaced Israel in God's plan of salvation. And this teaching says that there are no national promises that remain for Israel, that Israel today has no connection to biblical prophecy, that God has finished with the Jews as a people. This is what opened the door 1,800 years ago to anti-Semitism in the church. And after the Holocaust and the return of the Jewish people back to the land, that theology really died, because how could you say God was finished with Israel when he miraculously preserved us out of the ashes of the Holocaust and restored the modern state of Israel, and then against all odds preserved us from the attack of the surrounding hostile nations? But But now people have gotten used to Israel, and many have reverted back to the old theology. And even though there are some who hold to replacement theology that are fine Christians, that are not anti-Semites, there are others for whom this is the door through which they walk to reclaim this ancient Jew hatred. And that's why in Christian anti-Semitism, in the book, we deal with the wrong theology. We look at the key passages. We see where people are getting the error, and then we call them to go back to what Scripture says, and that is a heart of humility to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
We're just talking about our children being told about the Holocaust. And I want to take my older grandchildren immediately to either Washington, and you understand there's a museum being opened, do you think?
Is that coming for sure? Absolutely. June 14th, it starts opening in Kansas City. And if you have time, go look at it. It's the Auschwitz Museum. They're bringing over 500 items into the Union Station and making it available to the public.
We could all go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The twins are old enough.
I think it's one of the greatest lessons we can bring to our children is not hide the truth and not hide what took place in the past, but also teach them to not repeat it, of course.
I'm afraid by the time they grow up, then they're saying, well, it never even happened. Dr. Brown, what age do you think kids should be told about the Holocaust? I was told I just found out. I was very young, very young. I was probably, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't know, somewhere in there, you know. Hmm. So what do you think? How early can children learn about the Holocaust?
Obviously, in every family, it's going to be different. But here's what I'd suggest, that as soon as you're teaching your children the scriptures and teaching them about Israel, let them know that Israel continues to live to this day. Let them know that the Jewish people continue to live to this day. Let there be a heart to pray for them for God's purposes. And then begin to tell them, many people, they hate the Christian people, and others, they hate the Jewish people. So that they understand this thing that we call anti-Semitism actually exists. And then once they start to learn history, if they're old enough to learn about World War, then they need to know who was targeted specifically. It doesn't mean the pictures are shown to them at that early age, but as soon as they're able to see these things, digest them, and give them that understanding, hey, this is the devil who wants to wipe these people out, and it's in our blood to stand against that hatred. It's in our blood as followers of Jesus to stand for the Jewish people, regardless of whether the Jewish people believe in God or not, regardless of whether your Jewish friend believes in Jesus or not, you be a friend of the Jewish people. And the fact of the matter is, God's not finished with Israel. God's not finished with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we know that in many ways, Jewish people have been out from under the full blessing of God. Obviously, that's how the enemy's been able to attack. But it's also something that Scripture warns about. Paul warns the Gentile believers in Romans 11 not to be arrogant, not to think, well, we are the new kids in the block and you are out in the cold. We've taken over your house and it's just for you to go out there and rot and suffer. That's how the church felt in its arrogance. And Paul said, don't be arrogant or you too will be cut off. And what amazes me and what encourages me is I've ministered around the world, been outside of the U.S. probably about 200 different trips, as I've been to jungles in India and outlying places in Africa and places literally all around the world, I have met Christians who love the Jews. I have met Christians who pray regularly for Israel. It's absolutely mind-boggling. But that to me is the fruit of real conversion, the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in someone's life. So let's introduce our kids to God, to the hard truths, but also to the love of God that they can pour out on those who don't know him.
That's a
perfect Dr. Brown, if I had the money, I would give this book away.
Yeah.
But I think people need to buy it. I think they need to. But if they could get that Baker's Dozen and give them out.
Yes.
I beg you to do it.
Get
if
this
you do
for your
something
pastor.
In the heart of God, that's get this one. Book out. Confronting the lies in today's church. I'm so stirred about this.
Yeah,
and
you are.
If we could do this, mm-hmm. everybody order the Baker's Dozen, if you could, and read it together. You could read it to your children so that you could understand.
Like a small study group. You could do that. I mean, that'd be really excellent to do that.
It's so necessary that we're going to repeat this lie if we're not careful. They're after the Jews now. There's anti-Semitism just rising up all over. So please order your book today. Get one if you cannot afford anything else. Get one of them for a gift of what?
$25 donation. $25. Yes, and that includes shipping and handling. $25 donation. Or we have the three books, three of the Christian anti-Semitism, for a donation of $55 to the ministry. And Dad, you're right. I think we as a church should make a stand. And the way that we do that is by making books like this number one sellers. That's how we send the message that we are going to stand as a church. We're going to stand. And this is how we do it. We get behind books like this.
Yeah. Feel good that you're spreading a truth that can save millions of lives. And get this book and give it to your neighbors, give it to your friends, your pastor needs this book.
Yes.
Because they've been lied to about a lot of things, and there's lies going around about the Jewish people.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's anti-Bible.
Yeah. That's right.
It's anti the Word of God. Dr. Brown, in chapter 1, a trail of blood and tears you write about. You write about Martin Luther. Can you tell us about the difference in his opinions from the time he was a young man to when he was very old? And this is the background of some of this, and it just breaks my heart.
Yeah, in the opening chapter, I go through some of the most terrible times in church history, beginning in Chrysostom in the 4th century, powerfully preaching how God hates the Jews, then go up through Martin Luther in the 1500s. In 1523, he wrote a little book that Jesus Christ was born a Jew, and he was very gracious to the Jewish people. He was bashing the Catholic Church of his day, and he was very gracious towards the Jewish people and said, hey, if I had seen the way these Christians are acting, I would have rather been a pig than a Christian. So he's very, very strong in what he says. But then he reaches out, maybe we can reach them, you know, love, humility, and all of this. 20 years later, he's old, he's sick, he has been shown literature from Jewish people that's blasphemous against Jesus. He's under the false impression that Jews curse Christians in their prayers every day. He has seen no Jews coming to faith in large numbers like he was expecting. Instead, he's seeing people in his churches who are visiting synagogues and interested in Judaism, so he lashes out. He writes a mini book called Concerning the Jews and Their Lies, in which he talks to the German princes about how to get rid of, quote, this insufferable, devilish burden, the Jews. And he gives specific counsel. This is known. This is not disputed. Historians don't argue that this happened. He gives seven things that the German princes should do. He says that their synagogues and their places of business should be set on fire and destroyed. He said that Jews should be forbidden to teach under penalty of death. They should be withheld from good jobs. They should be gathered together in ghettos like unwanted people. That second book was largely rejected by the followers of Luther in the centuries that followed. But the Nazis rediscovered it. And the Nazis said, this is brilliant. Luther figured out the problem. It's the Jews. And the official beginning of the Holocaust, when most historians say this is when we say it began, November 9th of 1938, what did the Nazis do that evening? They set the synagogues on fire and destroyed Jewish places of business, exactly as Luther said. And the next day, as people woke up and synagogues were burning and the populace basically sat back and did nothing. That's what we cannot do. We cannot sit back and do nothing when we see anti-Semitism raise its head. What happened was that as the people woke up and saw here the synagogues burning, it just so happened it's November 10th, which was the birthday of Luther. And one of the leading German bishops of the day said, what a happy coincidence to see the synagogues burning on the anniversary of Luther, who was such a Jew hater. I mean, this is reality. And Catholic scholar Edward Flannery once said that the pages of history Jews have memorized, Christians have torn out of their books. Well, worse yet, these things are being written. Christian anti-Semitism is being written today. We cannot turn away from it. We cannot close our eyes to it. We must accept this reality.
It's just so horrible what is going on. Is there a direct connection between the synagogue shootings and the Christian anti-Semitism now?
Certainly the second shooting, the Poway shooting. The first shooting, it seems the man involved was just a white supremacist and didn't reference religious faith. But the second one, John Ernest, who was 19 years old and was caught, his gun froze. He was unable to shoot after the first few shootings, so wounding some and killing another. It was just so tragically. But he was captured, and he had left behind a manifesto. And he said that he was sending as many Jews to hell as possible. And he didn't just list white supremacy arguments. He listed scripture, the same scriptures that anti-Semites have quoted through the centuries, the same scripture saying that all Jews are of their father, the devil, or all Jews are the synagogue of Satan, or all Jews are responsible for the death of Jesus. Those exact same verses were quoted in his manifesto, and he made clear his mission was to send as many Jews to hell for their crimes against Jesus. So no question whatsoever that there is a direct link between contemporary Christian anti-Semitism, ancient anti-Christian Semitism, misuse of the New Testament, and the Poway synagogue shootings. No doubt about it.
Dr. Brown, what is the Noahide laws?
Right.
So Noahide laws are something found in Jewish tradition based on the idea that the Gentile world does not have to follow the 613 laws of the Torah that Jews have to follow. Rather, if Gentiles will follow seven basic laws, God will consider them righteous. For example, there's a prohibition against idolatry, prohibition against blasphemy, prohibition against murder, prohibition against adultery, those kinds of things. Seven basic laws for humanity. I learned about that, not so much growing up because I wasn't in a religious Jewish home, but if you're in a religious Jewish home, that's the way you're raised. The Gentiles, to be righteous, must keep the seven Noahide laws allegedly given by God to Adam and then to Noah. That's what rabbinic tradition teaches, while the Jews are required to keep the 613 commandments of the Torah. So it's quite benign. There's really not much to it. There's some Jewish groups that try to spread this knowledge to the Gentile world, and therefore they would welcome Christians and Muslims and say, hey, you already keep the seven Noahide laws. Well, other Jews would say Christians don't really keep the seven Noahide laws because they believe in a Trinity, so that's idolatrous in a certain way. They make a man into a god. So there's debate about it. Well, to my complete shock, and this is also within the last 2 years, I see this myth spreading wildly, I mean absolutely wildly online, that Jews are secretly plotting to take over the world through the Noahide laws, getting the UN to agree with them, getting America to agree with them, getting the Vatican to agree with them. And then once they have this agreement, they're going to say, aha, you are actually breaking these laws, and we are going to start beheading you because that's the punishment under the Noahide laws. I mean, it is the most absurd, crazy thing I've heard maybe in my life. I mean, it's more plausible to say that Santa Claus is literally going to be coming through your chimney this Christmas and spending Christmas with you. It's more plausible to say that's going to happen than this Noahide law scenario. But it's out there. And I document it in the book the moment I confront it. And I just tell the truth. Now, here's what we know about the Noahide laws. This is the reality. These are the facts. The moment I say it, I get attacked. You're not a Christian. You're a son of Satan. You're this. You're a deceiver. You're paid by the Israeli government. You're working undercover for the rabbis. I mean, that's how duped people are. It's documented in the book. And yes, it is a complete myth that Jews are plotting to take over the world by means of the Noahide laws and then start beheading Christians. A complete and utter myth.
Wow.
Wow.
This is really something really powerful.
Why has Christian Zionism become so controversial?
The idea of Christian Zionism being controversial is such a surprise because it's simply saying that the Jews have a God-given homeland. Zionism itself says that the Jews should have a homeland and it should be Israel. Christian Zionism says it's a God-given homeland. God keeps his word. There's really nothing controversial about it, except because it has to do with the Jews and has to do with God's fulfilling his prophetic promises. It's going to be controversial. So the Jews are looked at as the worst of settlers, that they committed genocide against the native population, that Israel is an apartheid state, that Israel is guilty of every kind of crime against humanity, kidnapping and killing Palestinian children and harvesting their organs, whatever crazy lie is being circulated, it'll be blamed on the Jewish people. So rather than saying, thank God the Jewish people have a homeland, thank God there's a strong democracy that's an ally in the Middle East, thank God the Jewish people can now defend themselves against the types of things that happened in Nazi Germany and Europe. Instead of saying that's great, but we encourage the Jewish people to have the best relations they can with the neighbors around them. No, instead, the return of the Jewish people back to land itself must be resisted. We're told we're being carnal, we're being earthly, that Jesus has become the promised land, that there is no physical land. And I say to people, so when you're going to tell the refugees fleeing Europe after the Holocaust and so on, that Jesus is their promised land. That's like telling a starving person, well, Jesus is the bread of life. You give that person a piece of bread, and then you talk to them about Jesus. Of course the Jewish people should have a homeland. Why did they, along with among all people, not get a homeland? And why not get the ancient homeland, the one that God promised, Psalm 105, to 1,000 generations? This is not based on Jewish disobedience. This is based on God's faithfulness and God's promise.
I want to ask you something, Dr. Brown. In the prison years, I studied the Holocaust.
Yes.
In depth. Even in the prison years.
Right.
I studied Dietrich Bonhoeffer and read his trilogy and other things. Mm-hmm. And God spoke to me. And you may not agree with me, but that's okay. But God spoke to me that the Jews, many of the Jews in the Holocaust will be in heaven. Mm-hmm. Because they became martyrs. Mm-hmm. Because the Holocaust was the devil trying to keep the Jews from returning to Israel.
That's right.
And for the cause of Christ, they were really the devil. You got to go back where he's hanging out. The devil is trying to keep the Christians and the Jews from being martyred. They don't want the Jews to go back to Israel. They didn't want. But the Holocaust brought about the return of Israel.
Yes.
The rebuilding of the state of Israel. And this is what I felt God spoke to me. He said, Jim, there's going to be Holocaust. Because I'm breaking my heart, even in prison. Because this is years later, I'm sitting in the prison. And I'm pining for the death of the Jews. Mm-hmm. And God said many of them will be in heaven because they were sacrificed because the devil killed them.
Right.
Because he didn't want them to go back home. Mm-hmm. He had to keep them from going on. Wow. But the Holocaust ended up driving them back to Israel. But do you think I'm crazy, Dr. Brown?
Hey, I wish you weren't crazy. I wish and hope it's true. Look, I've been sharing Jesus with my Jewish people for almost 50 years and saying that he's the only way to the Father, that without him, there's no salvation. God alone knows how people died. God alone knows what happened in the hearts of every individual. And look, I will preach and make it clear there's a narrow way, and then I hope that God did all kinds of things in the lives of people without me knowing it and bringing them to himself. What is so clear is that Satan ultimately wants to wipe out the Jewish people, and that God ultimately has a plan for the Jewish people, and that plan is hand in hand with Jesus Yeshua. He's not some foreigner. He's not some outsider. In fact, just as Jews were hated simply because they were Jews, and little children who hadn't committed some evil act, they were rounded up and they were killed just the same. Jesus can fully relate to them because he was hated without a cause. And Jewish people should be able to relate to Jesus, not as some triumphant one with the Church of the Crusades marching through Europe into the Holy Land, wearing their uniforms emblazoned with crosses, and the thought of Jesus being this conquering king who kills Jews. No, instead they should say, hey, he's one of us. He suffers by our side, and he has compassion and mercy on us. May the doors of harvest be open wide to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Amen.
Wow, you are powerful, teacher.
Yes.
You've got to get this book today, people.
Absolutely.
If I've ever asked you to get a book, I want you to have this in your life. You know, I have a huge library.
Yeah.
I have a huge library because I've been on the air interviewing guests for 50 years or so. Mm-hmm. 60 years, 50. Actually. 60 years.
Yes, yeah, 60th anniversary.
My anniversary is coming up.
July 4th.
My new book, I'm Still Standing, comes out on July 4th.
That's right.
This book here, I'm Still Standing, which is a miracle. This book, I'm still working on it and just finishing it up. Oh, God. I'm glad we're closing my book cover on that one. But I want you to order this book.
Yes, absolutely.
If you don't do anything else for me, I want you to do it for me, but I want you to do it for you.
Yes.
You don't want your grandkids growing up to believe the lie that the Holocaust did not happen.
That's exactly right.
And there's so much more. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to have Dr. Bankel Brown back if he'll come back. But this is, I'm so overwhelmed by this today. I don't dwell upon the negative all the time. But this is a subject that's so deep. You could see it, Mondo.
Listen, I've been around 23 years with you. I think aside from Israel, this is an amazing sight to see and witness next to you because it's so dear.
I'm so much with Israel, Mondo, that in my last days, if I'm feeble and can't come on television, you can just ship me to Israel. Get me a little cabin in the corner of Israel and let me just live there till I die because I would love that. And if I could still walk out, I would go visit the ruins and all the things there. So why do some believe that the expected Jewish Messiah describes what the Bible calls the Antichrist?
Wow.
That's a bad question to end with, but it's just so fascinating. Would you answer that, please?
There'd be two reasons. One would be some looking at biblical prophecy would say, hey, look, there's going to be a setup and the temple's going to be rebuilt and there's going to be this Jewish leader and the Jews are going to think he's the Messiah, but he'll really be the false Messiah, the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist. You know, so they're just trying to piece together biblical prophecy. Others say, no, he'll be European. Others say he'll be Islamic. So it's just part of speculation in interpreting biblical prophecy, and there's nothing evil about it. For others, there's something evil about it because who's going to be the worst person that ever lived, the most monstrous person that ever lived, the one that's going to try to kill the most people, the Antichrist? Well, then he must be a Jew. So some of it is fueled by Jew hatred. Some of it is fueled by innocent interpretation of Scripture. The key thing is, our eyes are not on the Antichrist. Our eyes are on the true Christ, the Messiah, and that's where we'll point everyone because it's his return to Jerusalem that's going to culminate human history.
How do we confront the lies in the church today about the Holocaust, about Jews and anti-Semitism?
One simple word, education. We get people educated to know the truth. We get them to understand the realities of what happened in the past. We get them to understand exactly what is actually happening today in front of our eyes. We educate, we teach, we instruct, and we pray, and we demonstrate true love. If we will cry out to God, if we will educate and spread the truth, and then if we ourselves will be ambassadors of love, we will be able to combat and overthrow the lies. Light always triumphs over darkness.
Wow.
Tell us what we will... should take away from this book today.
Yeah.
We got a minute left.
Oh, good.
What do you want us to put into practice from your book?
I want every reader to understand that Christian anti-Semitism is not just some relic of the past, not just some horrible thing that happened out there somewhere back then, but it's something alive in our own midst, in our own circles. It's alive, it's dangerous, it is even deadly. And therefore, we must combat the lies with the truth. We must learn about them. We must expose them. We must preach the truth and get in harmony with God.
Thank you so much for being with us today. Everybody, order the book.
Yes.
Please order the book. Do it for God's sake and read it. Read this book. and build your library. You can have a library as big as mine if you keep ordering books. And I have one of the great libraries in America. I really do.
And this book is exceptional. And it says on the back of the book, and this is so true, open your eyes to the hate that has seeped into the church and fight the trend with the powerful love of the cross. Dr. Michael Brown's
okay, go and order it right now.
Anti-Semitism. Order it right now. Call us at 1-888-988-1588 or go to the website, jimbakershow.com.
And this is one of the last days before the food goes up in price.
Yes, absolutely.
This is, if not the last day, yeah. It's real close to the end of that. And also for the generator goes up in price.
Yes.
We can't stop it.
That's right. So go to
inflation
the website.
Is going... Gasoline is going to $4 this year, they say. That's what I've been... I read that in the news,
yes,
Mondo.
Sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes.
And so inflation is hitting the food drastically.
Yes. Yes, and you can still take advantage of the offers that we have available for the Prepared Pantry 60-meal bucket. You can go to the website, jimbakershow.com, or call us at 1-888-988-1588. That's toll-free number, and you can place your orders with us today.
And they have big orders of 6,
of 12, wow. of 24. Yeah, so there's many different options available for your family, for your community, and for your church.
That's right. That's
so
right.
This is about the last 24 hours you have to order food and to order the generator before it goes up in price. It's just one of those things that we're facing.
Really,
and you're going to see the greatest financial crisis, I believe, America's ever faced by the end of this year.
Everybody get the book, Christian Anti-Semitism. This is a now book that we must know. We must educate. We must equip the saints.
It must never happen again as the Holocaust.
That's right.
And this is more than the Holocaust. I mean, this is the current Holocaust that we must stop in its tracks right now.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for writing this book and having the courage to write it. And we pray. We just plead the blood of Jesus over you and your family, and to have this kind of courage really takes courage, people. You have to understand. And I'm glad that you wrote this to wake the church up to the truth of what's going on.
Amen. We have to go. I don't want to go, but our toll-free number, call and order the book, 1-888-988-1588 or jimbakershow.com is our website. Just remember this, God loves you.
Yes.
He really does.
Bye-bye. We love you.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to the Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.